This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're talking to Munjal Shah, who is CEO and co-founder of Health IQ. And Health IQ, I think, is a wonderful, wonderful concept because it's disruptive of the current life insurance industry model, which basically penalizes you if you do something bad, if you have a bad family history, if you're a smoker, if you have high blood pressure. You know, they just look for ways to hike up your premiums. The converse is true for Health IQ. Health IQ rewards you for healthy behaviors as well as a high health IQ. In part one, we talked a little bit about their health IQ assessment, which has been researched, and it's confirmed that individuals who score high on a health IQ test have greater longevity and freedom from disease. So, Munjal, I just wanted to ask you, you know, part of the questionnaire is, you know, they ask you about, you know, your health, you know, whether you've had certain diseases, conditions, you know, your height, your weight.
Uh-huh.
So you don't use BMI like other companies. Insurance companies routinely calculate your body mass index. How come?
We just, you know, fundamentally believe it's not a great tool, but let me walk you through it a little bit. So sure. We went to the carriers and we said, hey, the health conscious people die 41% less, give them a 41% discount. And as you might imagine, that wasn't the easiest conversation. They were like, well, I don't know. You know, I'm not so sure.
They're bean counters. They're the word actuarial, you know, has to do with just strict mathematics and, you know, this concept of predicting how much money they're going to have to shell out, basically.
Right. Now, the good news is not all of them. Some of them were a little more forward leaning and were willing to kind of really think differently. And so, you know, we found a few of those and we said, all right, let's give some lower rates. And they said, okay. And on average, you can get it about 10% off. But the real win we got them to do is to recognize how to assess the health conscious a little differently. So one of them is exactly what you said. We said, you know what, for our bodybuilders, for our people with significant muscle mass, stop using BMI. Arnold Schwarzenegger's BMI when he won Mr. Olympia was 33.9. Mm-hmm. That would make him almost morbidly obese, right? 35 is that cutoff. And yet if you saw him, he probably had like a 24-inch waist at that time.
Right.
And we said, you know, instead let's use hip to waist circumference ratio. It's a better measure. It actually predicts cardiovascular risk better than and diabetes risk better than BMI. It's just a better rubric all the way around, not just for bodybuilders, but honestly for everyone. And so in certain cases, they agreed to kind of be a little more lenient on BMI or go ahead and use hip to waist circumference ratio. Either way, we kind of got to the same place, which was, you know, better leniency for those who are muscular.
A good example is the recent physical of Donald Trump, which has spawned a whole hashtag of girthers, you know, people who are dubious about his claim that he's a mere 239 pounds at 6'3". They think he's shorter and he weighs more. You could easily find, you know, we just watched the AFC and NFC playoffs, and you could easily find a tight end who's 6'3". And weighs upwards of 239 pounds. Routinely, they weigh 250, 255.
Right.
And they're just, you know, pure muscle and in they're superb specimens. So the BMI doesn't really tell you anything.
It's not a great way to think about kind of overall health, especially for those who are well-conditioned. The second part we found was, you know, in many cases, some of our endurance athletes had very low resting heart rates. And the insurance
companies.
For
example. Yeah.
Oh, what's yours?
Low. I mean, I went for a physical, and the nurse who checked my blood pressure said, oh my goodness, your heart rate is so low. So is it crazy. Always like that? It was like 46.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I said,
that's
you
great.
Know, I work out. And she said, oh, okay, we'll forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now mine's in a similar range, but it's a, traditionally they think, oh, there must be something electrically wrong with your heart if it's that low. And they actually wouldn't give you the best rate. They would knock you down a class, which would cost you 25% more in your rates. Mm. And the same thing on the BMI, they would knock you down a class and cost you 25% more. And we said, no. If they can show us that they're a significant endurance athlete, can you waive that and not knock them down a class? They said, sure, if you guys can verify and prove all that. And we said, great, we'll take on that responsibility. The other part we got was, you know, a lot of our health conscious folks became that way, not because they had an incident, but maybe somebody in their family did.
Yes.
And that's that family history.
That's often the pattern.
Often,
And it's in my case, too, because my father, unfortunately, early in his life, he was an athlete, but later he smoked. He kind of let things go to pot because, you know, those days they didn't, you know, you were an athlete when you were young. When you were older, you know, you kind of hung up your spurs and, you know, you chowed down and, you know, forgot about it. So your typical 50-year-old men in the 1950s were not triathletes. Like I was. So, you know, we apply a correction. We, you know, just like you did, you know, we try to overcome our genetics.
Well, so we ended up, you know, saying, hey, look, sins of the father are not sins of the son. Like nobody wants to be judged in that way. Can we, if the person's really health conscious and exercises a lot, can we go ahead and offset that family history? And in fact, family history, as we talked about earlier, is not that correlated for many things anyways. And so we said, look, there is a relationship here. We're not denying it, but we think the credits of taking care of your health kind of offset the debits. And right now you have a kind of a debit only system. Can you go ahead and not move them down one class and i.e. increase the rates 25% just because of a, you know, certain family history elements? And so they went ahead and did that. Now it's not every single thing that you have in family history that we can kind of get waived, but it's some of the bigger things out there in terms of heart disease and diabetes risk. And so, you know, the things where if you really manage your weight well, you probably can bend the curve on your risk. And so that was another change we were able to make. And, you know, bit by bit, we're actually continuing to be able to, you know, we had only one concession before of this, what we call underwriting changes, is where they're assessing you differently. Yep. And today we have about 9 of these things, and you can see them on our website. But, you know, we're going to keep just arguing and advocating for the health conscious, and not just with absolute lower rates, but also with kind of a more fair way to assess their current level of health.
From your research, you know, interesting finding. What generation has the highest health IQ? You probably have tested hundreds of thousands, perhaps over a million individuals, and they're to me a little bit of a surprise.
Yeah, you know, it's not the young. It's kind of the middle to later ages. So you will find kind of your 50s and 60s is actually where people get kind of, they usually have an incident in their 30s and then it kind of continues, or they have a friend who has something and they get a little health conscious and a little more and a little more and a little more, and they continue to be health conscious. At the very, very high end on the age range, we find that there's a drop off, but I think some of that's just you grew up in a different era. But you know, if you look at folks typically between 50 and 65, that's where we find some of the peak kind of levels of, I've learned a lot of the new research and knowledge, and I've really taken the time to care. And, you know, I looking at our data, we've really found, look, you know, if you take care of yourself, it's really in that 60 to 70, 75 age bracket where you really reap the dividends of it. Earlier in life, yeah, you'll live a little healthier life, but, you know, most people will probably do okay. Over 80, even if you took great care of yourself, you know, age just kind of catches up to everyone. But there's this sweet spot, maybe it's between 50 and 70, maybe it's 55 and 75, somewhere in there, where your quality of life is materially different if you really are health conscious, and hence a very different, you know, insurance rates.
So in your questionnaire, you focus on cyclists, runners, high intensity interval training athletes, weightlifters, triathletes. I'm able to tick off a lot of boxers, swimmers, boxes on that, swimmers as well. And,
yeah.
You know, I engage in all of those. It's interesting that you have a rating for yoga practitioners. And recently I got into yoga, and you found that people who practice yoga, maybe they don't do heavy weightlifting, or they don't do endurance exercise, that practicing yoga has some real longevity benefits.
Yes. You know, there's a value to mindfulness. If you even just take that part of yoga, and the meditation that's inherently built in, that does lower blood pressure, does lower risk. And then you combine that with, you know, the general strength training of yoga. You know, I always say, I'm on the advisory board of a company called Ubiome, which is testing gut bacteria and sequencing the gut bacteria.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah, they're an awesome company. But, you know, they recently found that, what was it I saw in the study? It was 75% of the serotonin in your body is not actually made by your body. It's made by your gut bacteria. And so the happy hormone, if you will, is really made in your gut. And, you know, Ayurveda in India has been saying that for 2,000 years, that what you eat affects your mood. And, you know, we didn't believe that. And now there's actually a hard kind of link of how we can show the pathway of how what you eat changes your gut bacteria. Your gut bacteria produce serotonin. Serotonin makes you happy, or if you don't have enough, makes you unhappy. And so it's a nice pathway that we've been able to identify. And so, yeah, you know, there are lots of things, I suspect, some of them ancient knowledge, some of them brand new knowledge that affect it. Yoga is certainly one of these things. And a lot of people who take up yoga also eat less meat, certainly eat less red meat. It's not just an exercise. It's ultimately a lifestyle that most people adopt.
Indeed. And maybe, through your connection to Ubiome, maybe we can add a poop test to insurance underwriting, test people's cholesterol levels, blood pressure, and have them submit a poop sample to see if they have microbiome diversity, which is associated with a lot of health benefits.
This actually brings up another interesting point that we tell to a lot of our customers. So a lot of times when people are getting these policies, they come and they say, you know what, I want to get life insurance, but I want to get it the easiest way I can. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to take a blood test. I don't want to take a physical exam. Yeah. I certainly don't want to take a poop test.
Right.
But that's actually not the right answer for the health conscious. And let me explain why. So we actually encourage folks the other way. We're like, you want every test done. And they're like, well, I'm afraid they might find something. I'm like, no. Chances are you're actually going to come out ahead compared to everybody else. Because if they don't do a blood test on you, when they price your policy, they have to assume that your mm-hmm. current level of health is average for somebody your age.
Right. So the default is towards ill health, basically, unless you
ill health or the population average.
Yeah.
Or a little worse than the population average, because they have to assume if to apply for their policy, you don't have to take a blood test, and the people mm-hmm. with something to hide are going to apply for that non-blood test policy. And so instead,
it's like a ninja, like a no income loan. You know,
that's right. Yeah. You're exactly right. Yes, right. Like a ninja loan. Right. Yeah, maybe easy to get, but it's also a little more expensive because they have to assume you're only average. And so I always say you don't want that if you're health conscious, because you're better than average, and so you're going to overpay mm-hmm. just because you were unwilling to take a blood test.
Stretch your good health statistics. Yeah.
And the same thing's true of buying life insurance through your company. A lot of people are like, oh, I just bought, you know, my company gave me 1 year salary and I bought another 2 years through the company. But all corporate group plans have to charge you the same exact rate for everybody who's the same age and gender at that company. Mm-hmm. Which again, if you're more health conscious than your colleagues at work, you're subsidizing them. Now, if you're less health conscious, you should absolutely buy it through work. Mm-hmm. If you are less health conscious, you should try to find one of those policies that doesn't do any tests. But for the health conscious, you know, you buy life insurance once every 5 to 7 years. What we really recommend is you buy term insurance, which is really a simple gap insurance product. And when you do it, you want the ones that actually ask you the most questions and do the most tests, because that's where you're going to get the best rate. Mm-hmm. It's a little inconvenient, but you know what? Even if we save you 20% the average person who buys with us has, the savings of that comes out to $280 a year. Mm-hmm. It's a 20-year policy. So, you know, we're sitting there going, oh my God, we can save you $5,600 as long as you'll spend an hour, half an hour getting a few tests. Like, it's probably worth it. It's probably worth your time. Mm-hmm. Unless you make more than $5,000 an hour.
But
I'm pretty sure most people, you know, in the country don't. And so we actually really encourage and say, you really kind of want the policies that ask you more questions, not less.
So I have a real basic question is, why buy life insurance at all? I mean, what are major arguments for having a life insurance policy? Because most people believe that they're immortal, that they're not likely to die, except if you're, you know, on your deathbed and then, you know that you're going to die, but that's not a great time to buy life insurance because your rates are going to be astronomical. Why buy life insurance if you're extremely healthy against the possibility that you might die prematurely?
Yeah. So everybody still has a risk, right? You could say, I'm a great driver. I don't need auto insurance. Nothing's ever going to happen, but something could happen to you that's not the result of your fault. And so life insurance is especially term life insurance is gap insurance. It's there to ensure continuity of income in the event that somebody, one of the primary breadwinners of the family, is no longer able to provide. Mm-hmm. And that's all it's there for. It's just there to provide that income. Later in life, you don't typically need it because mm-hmm. you've paid off your house, you've built up a nest egg. If something were to happen to one, you know, there's already cash available for the other person to live off of. But that isn't always the case earlier in life. You know, you're 35, you're 45, you have three kids that are teenagers, they still got to go to college. You're using both incomes to kind of, one income pays for the mortgage, the other income pays for everything else and saves for college. And if one were to go away, the family would have a different standard of living. The kids would end up with more student loan debt, you know, whatever the consequences are. And for a little bit of premium, you can basically protect against that. And so that's the purpose. You know, no matter how good care you take of yourself, there's still some chance. But health-conscious people have a lower chance, and so it should be a lower rate. And so we're just, you know, our goal is not to say you don't need it or to say you absolutely still need it. We're just saying, look, you just need the right – it should just be priced right. Because you do take better care of yourself. And so there's some things that are your lower risk for, but there's some things like having a car accident that you may be just equally at risk for compared to everybody else.
Indeed. So, you know, you started with an interesting hypothesis a few years ago. You weren't sure if it was going to catch on. It was kind of a speculative venture. In 2018, is it catching on?
Yeah. We are... not only having lots of people come and take their health IQ test, by the way, you can take it once and then we send you a quiz a day so you can test yourself on lots of different topics every single day.
Oh, fun. So I'll be getting additional quizzes?
You should get an email every day that says, here's our quiz of the day, or you can just go into the app and open it up and the quizzes are there. In fact, you can scroll back and take, we must have thousands of quizzes now that you can just test yourself on various topics. You can even search and say, I want to bring up all the running topics and test myself on all running.
Oh, cool.
Or all vegan topics. And so, you know, we have all of these quizzes that you can continue to educate and grow yourself. And then, you know, the business of the company is, really around helping to sell insurance and helping to sell special rate insurance and helping to advocate for the health conscious. And I think we're the fastest growing life insurance broker now in the country.
And that's quite a distinction.
Yeah, it's been a lot of hard work for the last few years, but it's paying off. And we've also, I think, done, remember their most recent stats, but well over $6 billion of coverage in force. So, you know, a lot of people are starting to come and starting to realize, hey, you know, why should I pay more? In fact, I just want to, you know, we think of it almost like refi. It's like, hey, come refi your life insurance with us.
Well, that's another question. Let's say, you know, some people have life insurance, but, you know, maybe they're not happy with their premiums or they're not sure that they're getting the discount that they should be getting. Can they apply via Health IQ and get a new life insurance policy or a supplemental life insurance policy? How does that work?
So if we talk about term insurance in particular, you can cancel at any time. Mm-hmm. And even if you're halfway through the year and you've already paid for the year, you'll still get a ratable refund for the remaining part of the year that you haven't used. And you can cancel it and put in a new policy. Sometimes
it's
that makes
like
sense.
It's like refinancing a mortgage, in effect, if there's a rate change.
That's right. And now, in some cases, it's still cheaper to keep your old policy because you bought it so long ago and you were so young. It turns out that you probably need more coverage today anyways because you have a bigger house, you have more kids, you make more income, and life insurance is typically a multiple of your income that you want to get as coverage. And so in those cases, we tell people, hey, you know, keep your old policy, but we're still the cheapest place you can come to get your new policy, provided you're health conscious.
And so, because I'm unfamiliar with this, it's possible to have a couple of life insurance policies to sort of piggyback one on the other. Right.
Exactly. You can kind of stack on top and stack on top and actually even have them different durations and just set up an entire policy coverage that includes different policies from different companies. And so,
do you ever cash in a life insurance policy?
Not term insurance.
Oh, okay. Because
permanent. So there's two types. There's permanent insurance and term insurance.
Okay.
Permanent builds value.
Right.
But what most people, and then term insurance just pays for the coverage, but doesn't actually build value. And, you know, even though as a brokerage, we get paid a lot more when you buy permanent, it really isn't a great deal for people. So a lot of folks go out there and say, hey, I'm going to buy permanent because it's the difference between renting and owning and I want to own.
Yeah.
It's not really.
It's like an investment vehicle rather than.
But it's a very high investment. And so you're almost, if you have the discipline, you're better off. You know, what happens in a permanent policy is you invest so much cash in the investment vehicle that it can pay for the term insurance, but you're just also renting the term insurance. It's really two products bundled together. If you unbundle them and just manage your money on the side in,
you'll do better.
Tax efficient. There are some corner cases where permanent policies make a lot of sense. For estate planning, if you're subject to the estate tax and things like that. Also, if you just borrow against it at the end, there is some other benefits. But for most people, the right product is term insurance. Even though we make less money when we sell you that, you know, I do believe that, you know, you should always kind of focus people on the product that's right for them.
Okay. Well, you've answered a lot of questions. And for listeners who desire more information or who want to take the Health IQ quiz, which I recommend very highly. It's a lot of fun to take, and you know, you'll find out where you stand vis-a-vis the rest of the populace. Go to healthiq.com. Anything else to add?
No. I think love your podcast and love how you continue to help everybody increase their health IQ ultimately. and really applaud kind of your listeners, because you know, kind of the very nature of somebody downloading a podcast like this and listening to it says they've taken responsibility for their health. And in our view, these people are the heroes in society that we're aiming to celebrate.
Okay. Well, maybe you should add to your underwriting data, whether people subscribe to our newsletter or subscribe to our podcast. Maybe that would earn them some points towards an elite benefit. Consider it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Munjal Shah, CEO and co-founder of Health IQ. Thanks very much for joining us, Munjal. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.